Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. Glad you're with me. We've got with us Senator McKnight. We'll talk about Florida politics, along with Bill Cotterell, senior political correspondent, Miriam Dady in the business spotlight with a guest, and Jim Crozier, local musician, will be part of today's show. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and car concept. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and car concept. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and car concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and car concepts. Their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and car concepts. We're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and car concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. So glad you're with me. Wherever you may be at the moment, listening locally here at 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, or across the globe as we stream live to the web, those of you in various parts of America or Europe, even the Middle East, Australia, man, we're out there. We're glad you're a part of it. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny brings you the very best, brightest, coolest, thought-provoking, entertaining, interesting people that this here town brings to the world. And what a great time of year to be talking about that as we come to the end of the inaugural Tallahassee Music Festival. Rick Miner and his crew, man, what a great job they have done all week long. We've got Jim Crozier with us here within the next hour or so. Jim will join us. A fine example of those who have contributed and shared generously their talents through this week, as Jim does, as all of these folks do year in and year out. But it's a great time for us to celebrate local musicians, artists, composers, songwriters, whatever you want to say, from various genres, and the Tallahassee Music Festival has done that in providing us music in, I'd say, some unusual venues. We've been showing up in grocery stores, you know, a cellist out there at a grocery store playing, let's see, or a shopping mall. Then you've had, you know, somebody, a choral group show up at a state office building. It's been pretty cool. And, of course, then all of the customary venues around town that have hosted live music all week long. And here we are on that weekend when another inaugural event, another celebration or a continuing of the whole spirit of the Tallahassee Music Festival continues with Word of South Festival at Cascades Park, utilizing the newly presented to the general public Capitol Amphitheater there at Cascades Park. And man, the weather is perfect. We're set up for a great weekend with all of the folks that will be a part of that coming up. And in that regard, let's see, who do we have? One of the highlights of that, of course, is the fact that Word of South is featuring literature, authors, and musicians from around this part of the world and around the country. J.K. Simmons is one of those well-known to many, Oscar winner of late, and he's going to be a part of the activities over there That'll be tomorrow. And there are reserved seating, and there are tickets available for reserved seating, $12 general admission. You can get your tickets online for that. So, yeah, we're definitely moving forward in this, as we are with so many projects and efforts. You know, our season is, of course, marked by the fact that the legislature is getting ready to wrap up their session, we think. Now, there might be an extension, according to Bill Cotterell, who will be with us here shortly. Bill is with us this morning to bring us up to date on the proceedings and process and any progress to date with the Florida legislature in their 2015 session. And so he will be able to get us in tune with where they're at. Those topics of the day that have been most prominent, and maybe some of those ideas that are even more significant to us all that have not grabbed as many headlines or attention as they might should have done. Anyway, Bill Cotterell will be with us, senior political correspondent and longtime friend of this show and so many people, and continues, even in his retirement, he is producing his column on a continuing basis, thanks to our good buddy Skip Foster over there at the newspaper, and drag Bill out of retirement. Shame on you, Skip. The man was just fine. But yeah, I think by the time the ink has been in his blood as long as it is, he's he's a victim of his own talents and success, and so we look forward to hearing from him. And speaking of the legislature, we have with us Senator Robert McKnight, who served both as a House representative and then as a Florida senator for many years during what he refers to as the golden era of the Florida legislature. So we're going to have a great opportunity to talk with him at length. He'll be with us in the second hour as we continue the show. You know, from 1 hour to the next, it just gets more better. Let's see, who do we have? Oh, Miriam Dady is going to be with us here in just a moment. And she has, in her segment of the show, the Business Spotlight, as we call it, Tallahassee Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, a man who has a great concept for a local business. So we'll be eager to find out from him and from Miriam what's going on there. I did mention Jim Crozier. He's going to be performing for us as well, so you want to stay tuned for that. And does a great job with bringing that Tallahassee flavor, what he calls twisted Americana and edgy blues. And so that's a great opportunity to catch up with Jim. And I should also bring you up to date on our progress with the Tallahassee Food Challenge. You know, this is our project this time of year when we want to make sure that everybody is giving as generously as they can. And we're trying to make it easier for you. So if you go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com, you're going to see there the various charities that are in need of our help. And we're trying to put together an opportunity for you and I to give in a more convenient way, where we have our food challenge truck located at any one of the participating grocery stores around town that want to do this. So you do your grocery shopping, and here's the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck, and all you have to do is come on over and leave us whatever you care to, preferably a canned food item. Certainly non-perishable is best of some kind. And so when you do that, we drive the truck over to one of the local charities, food pantries, and make sure that they're well supplied with your generosity and the gifts that you bring. It's a big problem this time of year, so we're going to make sure that you stay informed on that. And in addition, keeping you informed of this week's special events and activities around town, we've got Katie Gibson standing by with this week's events in a minute. Katie?
The Word of South Festival of Literature and Music is an event you won't want to miss this weekend. The festival takes place at Cascades Park and will feature a variety of musical and literary performances for children, teens, and adults on four different stages throughout the park. If you've been missing football season, be sure to support FSU and FAMU in their spring football games today, FAMU at 2 and FSU at 3 p.m. This week is Children's Week, a week dedicated to promoting children and family issues in Florida. Some highlights of the week include the Storybook Village, which will have interactive reading booths for children to explore, and a Hanging of the Hands dedication ceremony, both Tuesday in the Capitol Courtyard. This Friday, the Broadway show Stomp comes to the Civic Center. 8 people form the percussion group that creates rhythm using anything but conventional instruments for an entertaining, high-energy performance. Also on Friday is the kickoff of the Southern Shakespeare Festival. They will perform A Midsummer Night's Dream, Summer of Love, at the Capital City Amphitheater at Cascades Park at 7:30 p.m. The performance will mix Shakespeare's Renaissance with the love and peace culture of the 1960s. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, visit TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Sendout Cards.
Good morning, Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have Mark Bechera here with me, and I bet you don't know what he does, or some of you are lucky enough to know. He's a toy man. This is a gentleman who has hobby monstrosity right here on Capitol Circle, and you're not going to find the latest apps at his store. You're going to find actual toys. Mark, thanks for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
I love this idea. It takes me back to my childhood. I think kids today are missing out. I don't know if you've seen the YouTube called The Broken iPad, where they put a Life magazine in the hands of toddlers, and they use their fingers to try to shrink the page or move the page, and it's not working.
Oh, kids, dear.
These little kids don't know what a magazine is. Tell me about hobby monstrosity and what you've got going there.
Well, I opened the store approximately 2 years ago, 2 years this summer, and the idea behind the store was definitely, the first idea was education. So we sell a lot of educational toys, a lot of engineering style toys, a lot of space toys, and the age is really starting at about 5 years old plus all the way to adults. I mean, we get a good variety of people in the store. But really the focus is learning. A lot of the toys kind of getting started, people getting started in the hobbies, in whether it's trains or RC cars or all kinds of little educational solar toys, wind power toys, things like that.
Cool. So the rockets, those kind of things.
Sure.
RC, what does that stand for?
So radio-controlled.
Radio-controlled cars.
Right,
cool.
On-road and off-road.
Okay. Now, what you sell, is it a kit that a family might put together or a kid might put together, or is it already done?
So we have both. Excuse me. We have both kits, and we have what's called RTR, which is ready to run. And you, back in the day when I was a child, which was something in the range of 30 years ago, I won't date myself too much, but approximately 30 years ago when I was a child, everything was a kit. You had to assemble it. You had to basically learn the engineering part of the toy, how to put it together and how to fix it, obviously, when it broke. Nowadays, a lot of the stuff is RTR, ready to run. So it comes assembled. Everything's in the box. You just walk out the door and you play with it. But we sell both, again. So we've got the kits. So if you want to learn how to assemble it, how to fix it, more importantly, because these things do go fast, and when you run them into a wall, they do break, I would always recommend the kit.
Yeah, that's neat. And I guess when people get something like that, it's not a Wii station. It's not a PlayStation or thing. They would then race it against other people that have the same kind of thing?
Absolutely, and the technology has come a long way. Back in the day, you actually had to put a little tiny flag on your remote control that identified the frequency you were playing with, because multiple people couldn't play on the same frequency.
Oh.
But now this technology, this 2.4 gigahertz technology, has come so far that you just rip out your remote control and everyone can play, like 40 people can play at the same time.
And they can't overtake the control of another vehicle.
No,
and
absolutely not. The frequencies, I don't know exactly how it works, but they all hop from one frequency every second to another frequency. And so there's no chance of it you ever crossing with somebody else. Ooh. Or there's such a minimal chance that it could never almost happen.
Where would I go meet people if I want to race my car?
So definitely Tom Brown Park has an off-road track. It's what I consider to be a state-of-the-art track.
No kidding.
It's amazing. If you haven't been out to the track at Tom Brown Park, it's just such a beautiful track. And the people who are out there work so hard to maintain it, the club members, that it's like it's such an effort to on their part, and they do it for the whole community, so it's wonderful, really.
Wow. I can remember as a kid following my brothers to the little store that had slot cars.
Absolutely.
Remember those?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were all so proud of the little cars, and you get the little brush on the front and get them
absolutely,
in there.
Absolutely, yeah.
But this is like slot cars on steroids.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Some of these guys really invest a lot of time and a little bit of money, obviously, into these cars. And I mean, you've got these cars that go 70, 80 miles an hour, which
come
is,
on.
It's scary how fast, and that's not scale speed, that's actual speed. I don't do that because I don't, it's hard to get your car up to 70 miles an hour and control it. But some people are into that. They do like the speed. To me, it's a lot of technique and a lot of finesse in the sport. So,
and most of these people, when you say it's a club, mm-hmm. our listeners could probably find out about that from you. If they come
sure,
to
yeah.
Hobby Monstrosity, yeah. they can find out. And I guess they would, it would be age ranges that would compete against one another?
It's more like a novice class, but the novice class would be the younger people, obviously.
Right.
And then there's all kind of any category you want to race in. And like I said, you can start off with as little money as you want. You can spend as much as you want, of course, on these things too.
How about that?
But it's I don't know. I think the reward is there. I mean, it's fun. You're outdoors. You're enjoying the company. Sometimes the events have hundreds of people there, not just drivers but spectators too.
Is it weekends primarily?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a major event will take place on the weekend. It'll be Saturday and Sunday. A minor event will take place just on a Saturday.
How cool is that? Yeah. I'm going to have to put that on my calendar.
Absolutely.
That sounds fun, just to go and cheer and wave my checker flag occasionally.
And people come from all over. They'll come from Georgia. They'll come from California. I mean, it's a very nice track, and people will travel hundreds
and
of miles.
You're located very near Tom Brown Park, right?
Absolutely,
you're right across the street,
Right across, yeah. We're in essence kind of in between the Tom Brown Park and the lovely other building, which is just south from there. I believe it's maybe a big brick. It might be a prison. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it is a prison. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say some toys, and
sure.
you say yes or no if you've got them.
Sure.
Trains.
Absolutely, yes.
Model cars. We've covered that.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Rockets. You said yes.
We do. And we have, we do. Absolutely.
How about photography?
Well, it's funny you say that. We're getting into that now. We've just become an authorized dealer for GoPro, which is an awesome brand. Just such a great brand. So that should be arriving very soon. And I'm super happy about that. I couldn't be happier to have a relationship with that company.
Oh, that will be cool. Okay. How about water toys?
We do. Yeah, we have I don't know if the parents will love the water toys we have, but we have, for the example, those water balloons. So we've definitely got those, and then water guns and things like that.
Okay. Airplanes.
Airplanes, I have some model, like some static models and things like that. Our store is approximately 900 square feet, so not a very large store. I try to bring things in that everyone will like, and airplanes are on the calendar. We don't have them right now.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, I just hate that we got to wrap this up because I have so many more toy questions,
sure.
but I want people to know how to reach you. Tell me a phone number and a website.
Sure, absolutely. The phone number is 850-671-1201. The website is actually not hobbymonstrosity.com. We shortened it to make everyone's life a little easier. It's hobbymc.com.
Perfect.
So Monstrosity. And then you can always find us on Facebook. You'll want to search for HobbyMC.
I love it. And I hope everybody takes this opportunity. It's still springtime and gorgeous to come get a motorized car and go play in the park. You won't get a ticket.
Absolutely not.
Thank you, Mark, for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you. Tallahassee, get outside and go play with your toys.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are here. We are back. We have Bill Cotterell with us, the senior sports writer. No.
Sometimes it seems like
it
a sport.
It doesn't seem that well.
A
you know,
contact sport.
In fact, he's the senior political writer for this community, for the Tallahassee Democrat, and strangely enough, retired and busier than ever. How did that happen?
Well, I retired 2 years ago, and I continued writing my column only for a couple of years, and then this year, Skip Foster, the new publisher of the Democrat, invited me to come back just for the session.
Well, good.
And
he's a smart man.
Well, it's always interesting, always fun, always different.
And speaking of sports writers, Mr. Foster has his roots in that whole arena, doesn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah, he was on the show, I guess, about a month ago, and like that guy. He seems like he's a pretty decent fella.
Yeah, very interesting guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah. So he was smart enough to drag you back in because I think you're one of the few people in this town and maybe across Florida who have been around long enough to give us this sort of step back a bit perspective. You know, the last time you and I talked, it was about the way in which not just politics in general, but Florida has changed as a population, what we expect of.
Very much so.
Yeah, and describe that in your mind.
Well, I always, you know, I enjoy the experience. I like telling tales of, like, I came here to Tallahassee in 1969, but I'm also aware that a lot of the experience is utterly irrelevant to today. I mean, anything that happened before computers, before Republicans, might be interesting anecdotes,
but it really has somehow
it really has no bearing on the way things are done today. It's evolved, and I think it's gotten better. I think the systems have improved, not necessarily because of the Republicans, but one thing I do like about them when the Republicans took over first the Senate, then the House and Senate. They started adjourning on time. I remember Lawton Giles.
Get to lunch.
Lawton Giles came up and served orange juice in the rotunda in, I believe, about 1994 at 6 o'clock in the evening. No more of these all night, you know, leaving the Capitol with the sun rising on Appalachian Parkway, the last, what they call sine die, the last day of the session. Sometimes ran well past midnight. They would extend and extend and be running by hand, literally running amendments back and forth between the House and Senate. Now, of course, they can email them back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Republicans did, one of their stated goals was to bring it in for a landing. Whether you like what they've done is another matter.
There's the substance of things, and then there's the infrastructure, we'll say.
They do finish it on time.
Getting things done on time is important.
Of course, and we're now in the last 3 weeks
of
the session. It's set to end on May 1st. I thought May Day was very appropriate for the end of a session. And
how so?
It's a little like a basketball game. You know, the first half you can watch and it's entertaining, but the last 2 minutes is really in a basketball game when everything, great sports writer Jim Murray once said that with basketball they ought to start, give each team 100 points and start the game with 2 minutes left. Well, with legislature, they ought to put the budget in a conference committee for dealing, which is where the work really gets done. Put the budget in a joint committee and then start the session with 2 weeks left. Hmm. And the outcome would be pretty much the same because we're getting into the part now where the real work gets done. And, of course, then there's the sequel when the governor decides what to sign and veto. Mm-hmm. And this year, more so than in the past, there is a real possibility of a special session or a need for some overtime because the House and Senate are $4 billion apart with a B on the budget from $76 to $80 billion. And we don't know yet what the federal government is going to do on funding of what they call the low-income pool, the fund that reimburses hospitals for care of the indigent.
In your mind, what are the most critical issues at stake for Florida? I mean, because you look at the array of topics, everything from, you know, porn
protection. Revenge porn.
Yeah, vengeance porn to medical marijuana. You've got the conscience protection bill. All of these are, we'll call them social issues as such, but is that really what's, in your mind, the most
important? Well, I think the substantive issues that are going to affect our lives and the lives of a lot of people who are a lot less fortunate than us are going to be things like the Medicaid, expansion of the Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act, the LIP, as they call it, low-income pool funding for the hospitals. Those things are enormously big-ticket items and policy decisions that have to be worked out. Another is, of course, last November they passed Amendment 1, the water and land conservation amendment, which
aimed at the Everglades especially, right?
You know, and the springs and beach restoration. Some of the environmentalists even want to get just a couple million out of that to eradicate or combat the giant Burmese python. They say, well, what good is it to spend $400 million to restore the Everglades if the giant Burmese python eats every muskrat in there, you know, or whatever they are, hedgehogs, and, you know, makes it unlivable. So that would be a very tiny piece of the money. We're talking about $1 billion, and they're talking about $2-3 million. Just an example of the sort of things they fight over.
Is that where the gap, let's say, runs between, and you mentioned $4 billion in terms of?
Well, that's largely
that kind of stuff.
The healthcare funding. Of course, education's always a big budget thing. They're trying to ease the testing. They found they've been over-testing.
Right.
Kids are spending too much time. Faculty administration spending far too many resources on testing kids. On the other hand, as Jeb Bush likes to say, if you don't test, you don't care. And they don't want to spend billions of dollars on public education and not test the outcome and not know if the kids are learning anything or making progress.
Right. You know, it's interesting, too, when you – did you get a hold of this research that Richard Florida had released here, I guess, about a month ago, and he talked about Tallahassee. This was a national piece of work where he's looking at the MSAs around the country, Tallahassee included. Tallahassee tops the list for MSAs of its size in terms of segregation of lifestyle and income.
The economic.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, so that's – kind of like studying the solar system or studying gravity. Okay, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Interesting, but not. I wonder if it's important.
Yeah.
I don't imagine that anybody's going to start moving people around or advocating that. I don't know how now. Now, of course, there are things that can be done, like job placement opportunities created in blighted areas, but. I remember that story in the Democrat front page that has economic segregation. I thought, well, that's interesting, but I don't know what you're going to do about it.
Well, in that conversation, we talked with a few folks around town, and you know the outcry from people with the EDC and the chamber was that the research was flawed and that the use of the word segregation was inflammatory.
Oh, yeah.
That seemed to be sort of not the point.
Yeah.
I mean,
but here again, though, it's like I said,
so what? Huh?
Criticize gravity. And I thought, well, okay, but nobody's ever going to do anything about it. I'm not aware of any social program, any feasible program that would integrate, or there again, that's the kind of buzzword, but would shift around demographic or economic levels of income standards and residence.
Some of the folks we've talked to point to the changes in the economic landscape via startups. You know, and so you've got these three folks that are over there at OneSpark in Jacksonville, Bill McCluskey among them, trying to get Tallahassee seen from the outside world in a little different way, rather than, or in addition to being a championship football team, that we really have something to offer the world at large in terms of our technology and those sorts of things that are innovative and contributive. We're going to talk more about this as we come back. We've got Bill Cotterell here with us, who graciously has taken time out of his day with all that's going on with the legislature. Well, we're glad to have you with us. You stay right here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you in part by the wonderful folks at A Country Rose Florist. You'll find them online at acountryroseflorist.com. Stay with me. Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot, tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them, tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We've got Bill Cotterell here with us talking about Florida politics and the current legislative session that is winding down, isn't it, Bill? And before it's all said and done, you've got things like the medical marijuana bill up there, and you've got conscience protection in adoptions being debated. How about this revenge porn bill that's been tossed around? Tell us about all this stuff. What's going on?
Well, the social issues are always interesting. Yesterday, the last week, the House had a three-hour debate, and I'm sure there will be more on the conscience protection bill, which Representative Jason Broder from down in Seminole County, his bill would protect private adoption agencies who do not, or which do not wish to set up adoptions that they find morally objectionable. Now, they didn't say gay couples, but clearly that's what they mean.
If implied,
some perhaps churches, organizations, religious organizations, there are something like 82 private adoption agencies in Florida, and some of them may not approve of same-sex marriages and don't want to place children with them. His bill, which he calls the Conscience Protection Act, would shield them from civil suit and would allow them to continue to contract with state and local governments. The opposition, which this pretty much splits Democrat-Republican, the amendments were failing 80 to 40, which is roughly the breakdown of the House. The opponents say, well, this is just condoning discrimination and will make it more difficult. There are kids out there who might be adopted who now won't be because an agency will pull out of the service. There is no companion bill in the Senate, so when the bill clears the House, as it probably will, it's got a very short time and a long way to go in the Senate. The medical marijuana bill, as you know, last November, the voters came very close to legalizing doctors prescribing marijuana for certain afflictions. It got 58% of the vote. Usually 58% would be enough to motivate legislators to do something, but I think the M word scares a lot of people, and they have not advanced that legislation this year. There is, however, a bill to tighten up what they passed last year, a thing called Charlotte's Web, which is an oil extract from cannabis, which is very low in THC. It does not get you high. You could put drops in your mouth all day and wouldn't even give you a headache. the Department of Health has had a great deal of difficulty implementing the rules for dispensing Charlotte's Web. There's a much better chance that they will pass legislation to clear that up. And of course, every year somebody comes along with a bill to just repeal the prohibition and go the way of Colorado or Washington and have recreational use. I don't believe that bill's even had a committee hearing yet.
Mm-hmm.
Another social issue, you mentioned the revenge porn thing, which happened here in Tallahassee. A young woman found that some photographs, one or more photographs that she had sent to a former boyfriend, he had posted on the internet after they had stopped seeing one another. And she contacted some legislators, and a bill is moving, looks likely to pass. I don't think anybody really would stand up and say, no, it should be legal for people to post pictures of other people against their will when it's clearly understood that they did not intend these. It's not like Facebook where you take a picture of your dog or what you had for lunch. And I can't imagine any opposition coming up to that. So those are kind of the social issues that we'll hear about. And they don't take up a whole lot of time. Our readers write letters to the editor saying, I can't believe the legislature spent so much time on this, you know, a Mother's Day resolution. Don't they have better stuff? That stuff doesn't really take much time.
Really?
Unfortunately, now yesterday, as I said,
gets a lot of press. But
well, that conscience protection thing did take 3 hours on the House floor, but that's a fairly substantive bill
Worthy of debate, huh?
And a lot of people felt very strongly on both sides.
Right. And does that tie in at all with the current trending then? You've got gay rights activists that are very upset about what's going on in Indiana or has been proposed and such. And those things that are left aside, I think, have to do with the person who says, I don't want to deny anybody their individual rights, but do I have to give up my right to not be not participate?
Right.
And so where do we find a balanced approach there, do you think?
Well, I've always felt, and this may become the fourth, but I've always felt that there were three issues that nobody will ever totally agree on. One is gun control, another is abortion, and the third is school prayer. We haven't had school prayer, and there's one abortion bill, a 24-hour waiting period that's pending. But we haven't had big fights on those. Of course, we do have the gun thing this year about concealed weapon permit holders carrying their guns onto college campuses. They want to legalize that. That's likely to come up toward the end of the session and be settled this year. The gay, the limits, what constitutes gay rights, and now that gay marriage has been court-ordered, recognized in Florida, that may become the fourth topic that we never really finally resolve. And both sides say, okay, we're finished now.
We agree to disagree, and we just
of course now
take
on that, Judge Hinkle ordered for applied to all of Florida, but that issue is on appeal now to the U.S. Supreme Court, and in June we may well get a definitive answer for the, I think, 14 states that still prohibit, and including Florida, which prohibits but has been stricken down. We may get a ruling on that in June.
And you talked about this at the opening of our conversation here, how, in fact, the legislature at large seems to be moving a little more efficiently these days. Are we getting as much or more done? I mean, are we really affecting Florida in a more dramatic way than we did, let's say, 20, 25 years ago, from your point of view?
I think yes. Now, here again, with the caveat, whether you like it or not, I'm not saying that they're doing great things and it's going to benefit all of us, but with technology, with better staffing, staff is much more important now that we have term limits and we don't have legislators with decades of experience. I think that when they set out to do something, whether you want it done or not, they have thorough staff work, they're backgrounded in it, they have the legal aspects explored. In the old days, I'm thinking back to the 60s and 70s, they used to say you could walk a bill out of committee. member who was influential enough could go around to the committee meeting members on the floor in the hallway and say, hey, will you vote for this? Okay. And they, when they got to six votes, they'd go to the chairman, say, look, I got the votes here to support my bill. Why don't you just put it on the counter? And there wouldn't be a public meeting. Perhaps handwritten, quickly filed amendments would be taken up. That was not nearly as efficient or as open to the public. So I think the system has improved. Now, whether the work product that comes out is something you like, that's different. Mm.
Well, folks, this is the way it works around here. We don't have numbers of committees to discuss all of this. We simply grab Bill, we sit him down here, and he brings us as much lucidity and clarity as he possibly can in the short time that we get to have him with us. It's our pleasure, Bill. Thanks for being a part of the show.
I always enjoy it. Thanks for inviting me.
Folks, stay with us. We've got ABC News coming on up ahead, and we'll be back with more. Remember, listen to every show on every week that we bring this to you just by going to TallahasseeTalks.com, courtesy of all of our fine sponsors. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are back and we are here with you on this wonderful weekend in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our gracious hosts who provide the facilities here and the talent to make this all come together each week. And streaming live to the web, courtesy of Freedom 93 here in Tallahassee, 93.3 FM. And we are excited to tell you, too, that our Tallahassee Food Challenge project continues to make progress. If you know of a local business that would like to help us in this way, the money that the sponsor provides pays for the advertising, the messaging that we get out through all and any means we can, social media, TV and radio advertising, and printed publications, carrier pigeon, whatever we can do. We want to make sure that we're getting our message out to all of us who need to be reminded, quite honestly. It's easy for us to get caught up in everyday life and all that comes at us. And, man, I'll tell you what, food charities, they take it on the chin this time of year. Donations tend to run a little soft. Demand is up. Kids are out of school. And, you know, so they need more help. What's happened to our friends over there at the Second Harvest of the Big Bend and them having to relocate, that has not helped us. Folks, the Tallahassee Food Challenge is there for you and I to make a difference. And we can help make a big difference if we'll just participate. You can check it out online. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com is the website. And by the way, too, if you're looking to check out what's going on around in Tallahassee's nightlife, here's a neat little feature. The Rhythm Route is ready to take you on your nightlife tour of the greater downtown Tallahassee area. And this runs from 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. every Friday and Saturday night. So you jump on the Rhythm, which is a bus, and then the Rhythm bus is going to take you around the various districts of the downtown area so you can explore, your local watering holes and dining and, I suppose, dancing and whatever that is up ahead. And it runs from Gain Street all the way to 6th Avenue. along portions of Madison Street and Railroad Avenue, Macomb. So you can hop on the bus. Each of the 21 rhythm route stops is designated by a small rectangular sign located below other signage at an existing Star Metro bus stop. So it's Star Metro that's doing this, but they're trying to make it a little easier for you and I to get around. And one of the things you might want to take in is the All Saints Cinema. Now, this is the Tallahassee Film Society that provides this, proudly presenting weekly screenings of films, both new and old. Each week, the Society features films at All Saints Cinema, located in the historic Railroad Depot off of Gaines Street. So there you go. See, we're trying to keep you posted here on stuff. And, of course, there's IMAX Theater, the Challenger Learning Center, and all that they do down there. They got some great films going on right now. You can check them out. Now, I don't want to go on with this too far, but the reason I bring all this up is to point out that so much goes on around town, and you and I can miss out if we're not paying attention. How about this 22nd annual Downtown Crawfish Festival? Well, that's coming up. That's going to be on the 25th of this month at Clayman Plaza, and that goes from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. See that? And the Society Foundation is presenting this 22nd annual Crawfish Festival. It benefits the Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare Foundation. And so, as it goes on, it'll have all sorts of fun and delicious things from New Orleans-style cuisines that you and I can participate in. This town is famous for its festivals and its fundraisers. So I'm just saying right now, start making your list of all this. This is all happening right here in our very own town of Tallahassee. Well, we've got coming up in this hour our conversation with our very fine individual, Bob McKnight, who is senator for Florida, member of the House of Representatives for many years. He has served the state of Florida in those capacities and continues to serve as a columnist and author. We're going to learn a little bit about his experiences looking back through the years, those times that for him were represented the golden era of Florida legislative activity, the Florida legislature back in the 70s and 80s, with the likes of people like Reuben Askew and Lawton Childs and Governor Bush. He has a perspective that I think you'll enjoy and certainly find informative. And it's one of the advantages we have in, as we did in the first hour, talking with people like Robert, talking with Bill Cotterell, because you do get a better sense of the movement, the traveling through time. You know, where have we been and what have we come to, and perhaps even get a sense of where we are headed, what's on up ahead for us. You know, in local news, it's sometimes disheartening when you read of the kinds of things that go on. In contrast to all of this good news and the fun that's going on, you find a few stories that really just break your heart. Well, that's how I feel about the whole Hildebrandt thing and what's going on with the federal investigation. Those of you who've been in tune with this story, it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. This involves Principal Woody Hildebrandt, who was principal of Lively Technical School, the Technical Center. And some of his students have come forward, some of the former students and instructors, and have verified that or have said that, in fact, yes, the materials that belonged to the school were used for Mr. Hildebrandt's personal application. So the story published earlier in the week from writer Jeff Burlow over there in the newspaper, and it just makes it difficult for you to imagine how such things happen. How is it possible for us in this age when we are all so accountable at a keystroke, right? All it takes is one keystroke, and it's either tweeted or posted somewhere. So we wish that all parties involved will do well by this whole situation, the best that can be hoped for. But it certainly gives us all pause to consider that we live in a time when we really just need to be a lot more sensitive to, I guess, and aware of the impact of social media, if that's the least of our concerns, I suppose. But at the same time, you would think that it would draw us even to a level of accountability that we would otherwise not have. So you've got some great ideas going on, entrepreneurially speaking, and that's a good thing, right? So we're happy for that, and we're happy that Katie Gibson is standing by. She's got this week's events in a minute. Katie?
The Word of South Festival of Literature and Music is an event you won't want to miss this weekend. The festival takes place at Cascades Park and will feature a variety of musical and literary performances for children, teens, and adults on four different stages throughout the park. If you've been missing football season, be sure to support FSU and FAMU in their spring football games today, FAMU at 2 and FSU at 3 p.m. This week is Children's Week, a week dedicated to promoting children and family issues in Florida. Some highlights of the week include the Storybook Village, which will have interactive reading booths for children to explore, and a Hanging of the Hands dedication ceremony, both Tuesday in the Capitol Courtyard. This Friday, the Broadway show Stomp comes to the Civic Center. Eight people form the percussion group that creates rhythm using anything but conventional instruments for an entertaining, high-energy performance. Also on Friday is the kickoff of the Southern Shakespeare Festival. They will perform A Midsummer Night's Dream, Summer of Love, at the Capital City Amphitheater at Cascades Park at 7:30 p.m. The performance will mix Shakespeare's Renaissance with the love and peace culture of the 1960s. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, visit TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Music Festival concludes this weekend. In fact, the Tallahassee's musicians have come out in force. Jim Crozier is with us. How are you, Jim?
Doing fine.
A great example of what this town has to offer in local music, original compositions, and as a songwriter and singer, Jim's been around a long time. You've been doing a lot, too, with a lot of other musicians, and I know you were part of the Tallahassee Music Festival Week. Tell us your experience.
Oh, well, for the Tallahassee Music Week, I did a duo with Mary Z. Cox, who is an award-winning banjo player that I do a duo with.
Yeah.
And actually, she has a concert at the Monticello Opera House on the 18th.
Nice.
And looking forward to that. I'll be playing with her on that. And then I do a weekly show at Bird's Aphrodisiac Oyster Shack at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Mm.
And last night, I have a different guest every week.
How cool.
And my guest this past week was Mimi Hearn. Yeah. And we had a wonderful time, and that concert was on the Tallahassee Music Week calendar as well.
And I see, too, you've got April 15th coming up. That's Kevin Robertson.
Yeah. Kevin Robertson, a brilliant young guitarist, been playing with a lot of people around. He plays with Bedhead Betty sometimes, mm-hmm. and he... Has been playing with Mickey Abraham a lot and lots of outs of his projects. So this will be the third time Kevin's joined me on the Wednesday Night Lab session. In fact, he was my first guest back in October 2013.
Holy smokes.
When I started this project.
This happens, folks, on Wednesday nights, and it's at the Bird's Aphrodisiac Oyster Shack over there on Bruno. And right at the corner of Bruno, well, not right
not
on the corner.
Not quite the corner, it's down the hole there.
down the hole there, but it's at Bruno and Monroe is a good way to remember it. Jim Crozier, our guest this morning, a bass guitarist, a rhythm guitarist, a vocalist, a songwriter, and really one of Tallahassee's own. And it's a pleasure to have him with us. I know you've got some music to share with us here. Tell us about this song.
Oh, well, I got a dog song and I have a cat song. This one's the cat song.
All right.
And it's about two very different but particularly high-maintenance cats.
Let's hear it.
What a cat came back. Been gone the last few days. Well, the cat came back. Been gone the last few days. I let her in. I fell victim to her ways. Well, I tried to read the paper, but a cat was in the way. Yeah, a cat tried to eat a paper, and a cat was in a way. That cat was in my lap, and this is what I had to say. If you can relax, you can stay there. Get excited, you gotta get down. If you can relax, you can stay there. But get excited, you gotta get down. Now somebody get down and play me some blues.
Crozier, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, what a great song that is.
Thank you so much. The comment here is edgy blues and twisted Americana. The very able Jim Crozier, our guest this morning, at the appropriate moment when we are celebrating this great Tallahassee Music Festival that has just come upon us, and now we've got Word of South this weekend. You can catch more of the very great and Tallahassee music every Wednesday night, the Wednesday night lab session at Bird's, the Bird's Aphrodisiac Oyster Shack there on Bruno, just off of Monroe Street. Jim, what a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you so much.
Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up right after ABC News here at the bottom of the hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you all the very best that Tallahassee is bringing to you.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with our new friend and a friend of Florida, Senator Robert McKnight is with us. How are you, sir?
Hi, Brian.
I want to read to, for our listeners who may not know you very well. Robert McKnight is a former Florida state senator and representative who served during the golden era of the Florida legislature in the 70s and 80s. Senator McKnight has written two nationally acclaimed books on Florida politics, provides political commentary on both television and in print, including the Huffington Post, the Contributor, Florida media content. Much of this drawn from his book, The Golden Years of the Florida Legislature, which is available for you. If you care to purchase them, purchase that book, you can contact him, bob@flpoliticalcommentary.com, or just go to amazon.com and look for The Golden Years of the Florida Legislature. So you're not busy or anything, right? I mean, aren't you supposed to be in retirement? You and Cotterell, you drive me crazy. Yeah. You retire, and now you're busier than ever. How does that happen?
Well, I guess it's either things I put off or discovering new opportunities.
It's a
maybe
disease.
A little of both.
I think you're just twisted that way.
Right.
Do you miss the days of the legislature being in there, out there on the floor and committees and such?
I miss them as I remember them. I don't miss what I'm observing today. I don't think I would be comfortable serving in the legislative arena now. And I don't say that in a sort of an elitist way. I just think the legislative process was quite a bit different 30, 35 years ago. Huh. And I think there are areas badly in need of improvement
really?
Today.
So how have we fallen from where we were? What is not as good in your viewpoint?
Well, certainly the people, you would probably argue, are very much the same. I think the framework within which lawmaking occurs has changed significantly. And frankly, I don't think the people who are now serving are necessarily at fault. I think some of those that came after my period of service that were involved in the creation of single-member districts, term limits, frankly, our friends in the internet, and I would cite maybe the last one being the Supreme Court when it declared that there are virtually no limits, there are none on funding campaign races. Each one of those had a significant negative effect on the governance process. And I think today you see people who are far more motivated in their reelection as opposed to a more visionary responsibility. I don't think there's any question. We have a governor who spent $73 million of his own dollars to win an election. I don't think that's what our framers really had in mind. So there are a number of those instances that I think have created a less than positive lawmaking process.
And it, in the earlier portion of the show, Bill Cotterill being with us, talked about some of those items that have gotten more attention. The porn victimization bill, the medical marijuana issue, and then the other one that we were looking at was conscience protection that would allow those who are involved in the business of adoption to refrain from placing children with families where they find a moral objection. And so those criticizing that have said, well, yeah, they're saying that they don't want to place kids with gay families, right, or with gay couples. Those kinds of issues have occupied a lot of our attention. And yet when you talk to Bill, he's saying the real big issues, Medicaid extension, that sort of thing, the budgetary gap, the $4 billion they can't seem to come together on. How are we going to get through all of that? What is it about this current environment that you've described for us that will either help us or hinder us? Are we able to come together over things that are of greater significance, let's say, than some of these issues we've described here, the social issues as such?
I think the point I understand you to be making is we seem to be dwelling more today in some relatively minor, somewhat
or just narrower
issues.
Anyway. Yeah.
Narrower. Yeah, a few, and, yeah. And that tracks with what I was saying. Yeah. When we went to single-member districts and term limits, we narrowed our focus so sharply that we began seeking people to serve in office with very narrow views. Without
so we get what we bargain for, basically.
Yeah, and I like I say, I'm not necessarily blaming the people who are serving today, but those of us that had a chance to serve with a Reuben Askew and a Lawton Childs, Jeb Bush for that matter, and others, they had some pretty broad visions, and they weren't always successful. And so I think you're right, Brian. I recall not only the issues you brought up, if you allow me to single out one that really is so telling. When I first ran for office, I studied politics both in college, graduate school, and then in the real world. And I drew a conclusion. I'm not sure if I was a liberal, a moderate, or a conservative, but I took away from my studying of democracy, the less we have of government intrusion, the better off we are. Now, to be clear, where we need government for protection, fighting wars, certainly a minimum level of service, equal opportunity. Those are principles that really need to be underscored and enforced. I read about a piece of legislation somebody filed which would create a penalty for a parent who watches a baseball game and is impolite or unruly. I can't imagine that as being a burning issue. They only have a limited period of time to get this work done. I'm not aware of any budget action that has been completed. And Brian, maybe your listeners may not know it. There is only one. There's just one. There is one bill that has to pass. They will probably, in addition to the one about the sports parents being penalized for being unruly at their son's game. In addition to that, there are another about 4,000 bills that are filed. There's only one that has to pass. Now, I'm not passing over the importance of other pieces of legislation, but I mean, we're at the point of absurdity. So I don't have a lot of answers. I'm happy to try to answer questions you or your listeners have. But I think it may be back to the fundamentals of what is the purpose of government? How can we serve the people and make sure that it's an open, free, and honest government?
Talking with Senator Robert McKnight, who served both the House and the Senate of Florida for many years, and a colleague of the former, or the a colleague of a number of those who served governors and senators and representatives throughout the years, has this book called The Golden Years of Florida. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the book real quickly. What is that?
It started out as a memoir. Sidebar is I broke my hip and I was laid up. And I was observing, I'm still a student of the internet, I was observing on the internet, and I kind of punched in a couple names that I serve with. Senator Dempsey Barron, for example, was a legend. And there was an article or two or this or that. Well, it occurred to me, Brian, that, well, gee, that doesn't have, there's nothing there about the one instance I saw, and I was with him in a committee meeting, and that which we were doing that day is very, very historic. No, there's no record of it. So it occurred to me, with all the instantaneousness of the internet, if we don't have fed in to that big tube some of this history, some of this information. So I decided to just do it myself, and I started writing what started out as a memoir, and I found myself veering over into what we've just talked about, single-member districts, term limits. I've gotten into civility. I've gotten into bipartisanship, drawing again on actual real experiences. Yeah. I had trying to pull out of those experiences some conclusions, and what I have done generally since the book came out are shows like this, where I've been asked the question, well, if when you served, you said the process worked better, if you have all the answers, McKnight, how would you handle the Medicaid differential, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
I obviously don't have all the answers, but I'm happy to volunteer how I think an issue might have been handled then versus now, and why I really think there's room for improvement.
Talking about Florida politics here with our good friend Robert McKnight, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're talking with Senator Robert McKnight. You know, Florida politics in the last, oh, I guess you could argue in the last 20 years, have decidedly been a bit more, would it be fair to say Republican? I don't know if conservative quite fits, but definitely Republicans have had a greater sway with voters. Why is that, do you think?
Well, clearly reapportionment has shifted the boundaries and the guidelines, and no surprise the Republicans have been in charge. I am a Democrat, and I was in office when the Democrats were in office. And frankly, we were accused of the same thing. The word is in the industry gerrymandering, which is basically, it's an inherent conflict of interest, but it still goes on. I have the authority to draw the lines of my district, and I also have the demographics, so I know what the income level is. Frankly, I even know what their employment is. I know an awful lot of data, and I can draw the boundary line to pretty much ensure my reelection. It was largely around the time that I left office that the shift started occurring. Some would argue it was really single-member districts that started it, because the larger districts favored the Democrats. In any event, the Republicans now have redrawn the maps, and with some minor exceptions, they pretty clearly show that the Republicans will retain the legislature and also the Congress. It's interesting, Brian, if you actually total up the number of voter registrations, it's very, very close. The conclusion you've got to draw is Republicans in the last several years have done a far better job of turning out their vote than the Democrats.
And the latest gubernatorial contest between our current governor and the former governor, or the prior governor, I guess would be the proper term there, Chris and Scott going at it. The vote, the popular vote, was pretty close.
Yeah.
Which sort of supports your point that, you know, in terms of how people actually are distributed, we'll say, across these two. Is that two-party system, in fact, two parties? Some argue that it's not about political differences. It's really about power, those in control and those not.
Yeah, you're right. No, I would say the difference really occurred this past term when the legislature went beyond two-thirds. In the legislative process, you need two-thirds to stop a bill from rolling over to final reading. So literally, you could have closed down the entire government until the Republicans got the two-thirds. Now they have the two-thirds. So even if every single Democrat voted in lockstep to oppose a certain bill, the Republicans have enough votes to pass it. So with all due respect to my friends in the Democratic Party, they are politically impotent. There's nothing they can do.
And you alluded to this earlier, your comment about the role of government and the intrusive nature of governing, we'll say, or governance in a lot of issues, down to whether a guy is allowed to throw a soft drink at somebody at a baseball game, I guess. Does that reveal a sort of leaning towards a more libertarian point of view for you, or does that come up in your thinking?
The
role of government.
The role of government. Yeah. The Republicans have historically been for a limited size of government. But, Brian, you really need to take that case by case because you can find many examples in Florida and the federal level where the Republicans, more conservative, limiting government, take a very aggressive role. Let me give you an example, because this occurred when I was in the legislature as well, even though the Republicans were not large in numbers. On environmental issues in Florida, Republicans have been generally the most strident and ardent. That's one of the reasons it's so ironic, so strange that the legislature would be gutting a constitutional amendment that passed by 75%. I understand they're making the point that the language was inartfully drafted and it actually does refer to things other than just water. But I can count. 75% tells me there's an overwhelming support for that. But that's where the Republican vote has historically been, and that's really advancing more government, not less.
So then there is this sociological point that it's a matter of how we perceive an issue. So if it's a word like marijuana, regardless of the substance of the argument having to do with the efficacy of the medical use of marijuana, it's that flashing, that buzzword, and so it's associated with, and I think the word Democrat or Republican betrays us as well, because you're pointing to the fact that if you start to get down to the granular level, there are not as many categorical differences, you know, that between, let's say, two parties or even three or four parties, you can have agreement, but on the label it says this is this and this is that. Skip Foster said that when he was here a few weeks ago. I said, Skip, you've only been in town a few months. What are your first impressions of this young lady called Tallahassee? He says, the one thing that occurred to him was that you've got groups of people who are ardently divided, and yet they share a common goal. Does that speak to that point that, you know, we're a lot more alike than we realize? And that's the whole mission of Village Square. If you and I could sit down for 5 minutes and find out, well, you know, Bob McKnight's not such a bad guy. I mean, you know, he drives a Volvo. I drive a Volvo. Well, that's a cool thing. Maybe we have other things in common. We like the same beer. I mean, can we work together in a manner that might be reflective of or like those years back when legislators got busy, regardless of their affiliations, huh?
Yeah, Brian, I wrote an op-ed. You mentioned Mr. Foster. His paper recently published it. The op-ed that I wrote, largely drawn from my book, I think the headline was something to the effect, have we lost all civility and bipartisanship? How did it happen? What can we do to bring it back?
If our local efforts are any way, shape, or form a kind of model, representation of that, then here, let's do it. Let's get folks to share that beer or coffee or whatever. Let's get them in a conversation. Let's get them to go to the same concerts. You know, we got Tallahassee Music Week finishing up with this Word of South. Wow. First time we've ever done anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, there's hope for us yet, Robert. Yeah. Maybe we can make that happen. Our good friend, Bob McKnight, Senator for Florida for many years, a representative there in the House, and an able spokesperson, I think, on behalf of all of us, and a political commentarian who has joined us in this part of our show. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you being with us.
Enjoyed being with you, Brian.
We'll look forward to next time.
Thank you.
Folks, that's what I've got for you here this morning, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, our executive producer, Carl Cerny, and our director of guest relations, Mindy Clark. You stay right where you are. We got ABC News coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be back again next week right here at 93.3 FM and streaming live across the web. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricky out and truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here.